are still some persons entering the room, but I would like to begin in time. Meine sehr geehrten Damen und Herren, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, again, it is my great pleasure to open an international Bielefeld conference, but I see I have to start my presentation first. This is a great pleasure, not only because once again we will enjoy a really international meeting of about 300 information professionals from about 20 countries. Moreover, this time we can celebrate a twofold anniversary. This is the 10th Bielefeld conference in a series within 20 years. I'm not sure if any one of you has attended all 10 conferences. If so, I will spend him or her a drink at our dinner tomorrow night. But I surely do recognize many familiar faces who have been guests in Bielefeld for many times. Our anniversaries are worth to mention, but instead of simply celebrating an event, we will go on discussing the central themes of all previous Bielefeld conferences. The state of the art of information sciences and even visions of those, and on the other hand, strategic and operational issues that enable service providers to establish high-quality services. Shaping future infrastructure is the guiding theme for this year's conference. Information is established by distinction, that means by structure, or in other terms, by a lack of entropy. The term structure was first used in architecture in the sense of construction, later in science and humanities in the sense of classification. Therefore, information and structure seems to be the different sides of the same coin. Meanwhile, information is encoded in hundreds of ways and has lots of physical manifestations, all of them serving specific purposes. When Wolfram Hostram and I changed our first ideas about the program, we were very happy to create the term infrastructure as a combination of information and structure, but we were wrong with respect to our exclusive copyright. Google already knows 420,000 occurrences of these items. As early as in 1994, James Tilton was also proud to coin this term in the sense of a layout for information that can be navigated. One of his examples was Gopher Space, an internet-based directory already in use before the World Wide Web was established and probably no longer known to our younger colleagues. At the beginning of this year, the term was used by Walter Russell Mead in an economical-oriented blog, and he reflects on the power of infrastructure as follows. The first challenge of the 21st century will be the race to build infrastructure, a mix of hardware, bandwidth, software, government, and corporate practices that deliver the greatest possible benefit of IT. Very recently, the International Journal of Innovation Management and Technology Research published a call for manuscripts and listed infrastructure among its topics. Shaping future infrastructure. This is about information, this is about structure, and of course this is about infrastructure in different layers and scales. Do we have a demand for new structures? Yes, I think we do. The hybrid world of printed and digital academic resources faces a rapid dissolution of accustomed barriers. Barriers between different physical manifestations of documents, pure textual information and various supplementary data, catalogs and databases, local holdings and information in a cloud, in-house and remote users, librarians and users, authors and publishing houses. All these barriers are no longer what they used to be. Collaborative forms of research, teaching and learning will continue to be changed by tomorrow's digital native scholars far beyond today's practices in e-science and e-learning. While it was a mere joke in 1994 to put the Library of Congress on a chip, this may be reality soon. How can we navigate on this chip? How can we organize collaborative work? How can we avoid arbitrariness in a world without borders? In 1995, a report by the Bavarian state government puts the structure of the internet on the same level than a medieval library. Maybe this was already daring at that time. Meanwhile, there are at least some appropriate tools to structure the internet, but still there's an urgent need to establish new services in an open environment. Future information services have to address even more different target groups. Libraries and library networks have to anticipate these new requirements in their organization and infrastructure. For instance, academic libraries do not only have to collect the knowledge of the world for their users, as they have done for centuries. Moreover, as a change of paradigm, they have to distribute the knowledge of their users to the world. Do we have to reinvent the library? There's a real bunch of aspects that have been discussed by information professionals already for a long time, but by information professionals only. Lately, terms like information society or even knowledge society have been used frequently in public discussions, but obviously just as buzzwords without any consequences so far. Only very recently, we have seen an astonishing amount of reports and recommendations by science organizations and funders concerning future information infrastructure for new requirements of research, teaching, and learning, not only in Germany, but also in other countries. In a remarkable overview presented to the annual meeting of the German Initiative for Network Information, Peter Schirmbacher came up with a total of about 700 pages of relevant recommendations. Fortunately, by their huge redundancies, all these papers can be reduced to the same 9 fields of key activities listed on the slide. Most of these tasks are subject to papers presented at our conference. Shaping new and innovative infrastructures for a giant flood of information, probably realizing them without any additional monetary or personal resources, is this a realistic perspective? Maybe. Maybe it is like Sisyphus, ceaselessly rolling a rock uphill. Maybe it is even worse because of the second law of thermodynamics, stating an irreversible increase of entropy, or in its more popular version, the irreversible increase of disorder. Fortunately, this applies for so-called closed systems only. That is why a very open-minded community, like our community of information professionals, such a community should not be bothered by thermodynamics. We have a long and ongoing history of anticipating new ideas and methods in order to accomplish our mission of structuring and providing information. If this needs any further proof, then it can be found in your presence at this International Bielefeld Conference where you have come in order to share and discuss best practice information services and to develop innovative ideas that help to fulfill our mission in an excellent way furthermore, not only today, but also tomorrow and beyond. Before we enter in our conference program, it is my utmost concern to express my gratitude for various reasons which cannot be mentioned all in detail and personally, but I would like to thank all our speakers and chairs, our program committee, our premium sponsors EBSCO and Springer, our further sponsors OCLC, Serial Solution, SWETS, Massmann and Westfälisch-Lippische Universitätsgesellschaft. I would like to thank all exhibitors, our partners InVent, Bielefeld Convention Center and Bielefeld Marketing, and all my colleagues from Bielefeld University Library. But my special thanks are directed to all of you who have come to attend the Bielefeld Conference, because it is you who make this conference alive, and it is only by your interest and your contributions in the next 3 days that all our preliminary efforts pay off. I wish you, I wish all of us, an interesting conference and a lot of new insights in shaping future infrastructure. Thank you.